Grasshopper, you have learned much in your training. However, to achieve ultimate geekness, you must pass one final test. You must snatch this chip from my hand, Grasshopper. I wasn't looking. You must snatch this chip from my hand. Once again, you must snatch this chip from my hand. You must snatch this chip. Enough!
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocoptic Margot veins. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fam. Milford trunnions. Ambifacient lunar wane shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplaneration. Retroencabulator.
Welcome to Technorama! One geek, two geek, red geek, blue geek! Hey, Dr. Seuss meets Technorama. This is show number 66, two-thirds of an evil number.
Ah, boos!
I'm Chuck Tomasi, your host, and with me is my trusty co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you tonight, Craig?
I'm good.
How's the weather there?
It's cold. Actually, they're calling for adverse weather tonight.
Adverse weather. We've had nothing but adverse weather all day. You remember that 450 block snowblower we covered on the last show?
Your neighbor's got one.
I could have used one tonight. That was really, really nasty. I mean, we only have about 4 to 6 inches of snow in the last 6 hours.
In the last 6 hours. Wow.
Hey, that's nothing. That is nothing compared to what I used to grow up with, Sonny Boy. If it was snowing all day, I would have had to snowblow when I got up. I would have had to snowblow at lunchtime, and I would have had to snowblow after dinner, and probably again before I went to bed.
Where you grew up in Wisconsin?
I grew up in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, right on the shore of Lake Superior.
Oh, explains your accent.
Lots of... You want the Uper accent there, eh? Don't make me slip into it. I was thinking one time about doing a Uper cast.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't. hey, I do want to say something, though. Actually, I want to do a shout-out because not really... the reason I... Let me gather my thoughts.
Okay.
Earlier this week, my iPod decided to take a nosedive. I can play my podcast on it just fine. However, if I go to play, I was in the car and I was like, man, I want to hear Steely Dan. So I went through, go to Steely Dan, hit play, and it would step through each song, but never play anything. It was like it would read it, you know, and just didn't go anywhere. And it would go pop, 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 and step through every song till it was pop back to the menu like it was done. And I was like, the crap is that? Well, I just got ticked off, and I haven't been carrying my iPod in the last day or so. But you know what's funny? I did something today I have not done in months.
What happened?
I listened to the radio because I didn't have my iPod.
Isn't that funny?
I was like, what is this garbage?
It's different. After you get away from it for months and months, it's different to hear it. Man. I mean, there's an occasional idea or a nugget in there that you think, oh, that might lend itself well, or I could twist that into a Technorama thing.
Well, you know, I listen to, we got a classic rock station, which I love. I love 70s and 80s music. But they're so daggum repetitive. I could tell you, okay, here comes Bob Seger. Here comes Pink Floyd. Here comes, you know, and going down the line. So I started listening to talk radio a while back, and I listened to our local WBT, or talk radio station, and they're good. But, you know, politics gives me a headache after a while, so I kind of got tired of that. So that's where, you know, I've been really hot and heavy in podcasting. Well, today I'm turned on, I'm like, holy crap, it feels like I went back, you know, 2 years.
Yep. If anybody get flashbacks of what did radio used to be like.
Yeah. Well, if anybody ever had that problem with their iPod, please let me know, because I did it one time. I had to restore the whole thing to get it working right. So anyway, let's get going.
Let's get going. We'll be right back. Coming up after On This Day in Tech History, you give your son a computer?
Yeah.
We've got part three of our talk with T. Morris, and we've got listener feedback, all for free.
Yeah, I think he's hacking my bank account already.
We'll be right back. On this day in tech history for December 15th, 2005. This is December 15th. It's the 349th day of the year. Still using the Gregorian calendar. There are just 16 days remaining in 2005. It was on this date in 1939, Gone with the Wind premieres in Atlanta, Georgia. And in 1965, the Gemini 6A is launched. It was also on this date in 1994 that Netscape Navigator 1.0 is first released. And the BBC 7 digital radio station is launched in the UK on this date in 2002. Walt Disney passed away on this date in 1966 at the age of 65. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1852 to Henri Becquerel, the French physicist. And also to the Danish physician Niels Ryberg Finsen, born on this date in 1860. And exactly 1 year later, Charles Duryea, the American automobile pioneer, was born. Also, happy birthday in 1916 to Maurice Wilkins, the New Zealand physicist. And happy birthday to Freeman Dyson, the English physicist, born on this date in 1923. And Garrett Wang, the actor who played Ensign Kim on Star Trek Voyager, turns 37 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for December 15th, 2005.
Chuck Chat Technorama. More fun than a blue screen of death.
We've got listener feedback, a whole ton of it.
What's in at the bottom of the notes? Oh, listener feedback.
Yeah. Lots of it.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of it. And we love it. Keep sending it. Whether you like it or don't like it, let us know and we'll tell you where to go. No, just kidding.
to Gmail and send us more listener feedback.
Our first one is from... I lost the name. I know who it's from. I can't remember, though. I apologize.
Oh,
I should have put from... So I usually put from so-and-so at the top. Well...
From so-and-so.
You're certain so-and-so.
From John Doe, you know who you are.
Hey, Chuck and Craig, this is Alex from Ohio. I guess that answers that question.
I just read it before you started reading it.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those nights. Big fan of your show. It's geeky.
The jokes just write themselves.
That's right. Good thing. Sorry. I didn't have that glass of wine. It's geeky, but you add a good sense of humor into it as well. Your podcast is now on my top two list of favorite casts. Big honor, yeah. I'm sure. I want to know who's number one.
He's only got three.
After one of your shows renewed my interest in the Geek Code at www.geekcode.com, I figured that I would give it a shot. However, the actual webpage with instructions on how to write your own Geek Code is way too long for my taste, so I figured that there had to be an easier way. That's the geek mentality. Always thinking of optimizations and efficiencies. It's called laziness. The webpage that generates the code for you is great, but I thought to myself, I'll bet I could do that. That's the other mentality. Now, the best part is at the end of this. We got to keep going. You had something to jump in?
Oh, I was just going to say, if it was a little too long for your taste, why don't you just do the, if he's got a Mac, why don't you just do the summarize? Never mind, sorry.
I want to add Python to my list of one programming language, C++, so I'm going to write a Python script that generates the code for you after answering a few simple questions. After it's finished, I'll probably upload it to the internet for all to enjoy and post a link in your forums. Well, thank you. And I'm sure that most of the other listeners are frothing at the mouth to get their hands on the geek code. P.S. Here's the good part. C++ and Python may not seem like a huge feat, but I'm 14, so suddenly it becomes a rather large feat. Later. Yeah. Hey, Alex, you are on the right track, my man. Keep up the good work.
Actually, I think you should start like I did and get a Commodore.
You start at the bottom rung of the ladder?
Yeah, he's got to make it through all these years just like we did.
That would take three generations with all the hardware things that have come out, and by the time new stuff comes out, he'll still be behind.
Well, just like me. We're always behind. Okay, in my heart, I try.
Do you want to take the next one?
Yes, and it's addressed to you, but that's okay. This is from Steve. Hey, Chuck, I enjoy listening to the show every week. I am only wondering why you haven't talked about the Xbox 360. It's been out since Thanksgiving. I haven't heard a word about it. Does it really have three cores running at 3.2 megahertz?
Gigahertz.
Yes. I'm correcting myself. 3.2 gigahertz. What are the horror stories about the overheating, and are those true? Your review of the product. I'll be honest with you. I don't have one yet, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get one yet because they're a little on the expensive side. It was like $299 or $399 if you want the Hot Rod Edition. However, I do know that it does have three PowerPC chips in it, mm-hmm. and I think they are running it through 3 megahertz. I've heard mixed stories about the overheating. I've heard a lot of people, you know, at first were like, hey, it's overheating, it's a big product problem, and then other people were like, not as big as a problem as you think, that it's like a small percentage. So
my take on this, I already responded to Steve in email. But Steve, I'm not that big of a gamer, to be honest, and if I did buy an Xbox 360 or one of the other consoles, I'm afraid it would suck up any remaining time that I have left that's currently used for sleep, and one or two podcasts may die as a result of that. So I'm staying
Sleep's overrated, man.
And you can sleep when you're dead.
Yeah, that's right.
So the best the recommendation I can give right now, Steve, sorry to interrupt, Craig.
No, go ahead.
Is Charlie George has a podcast called Tired Thumbs, and you can find it at tiredthumbs.blogspot.com.
Blogspot. Mm-hmm.
So that's where I would recommend.
I was going to say the only thing, I'm sort of a gamer. You know, I'm like a part-time gamer. I like to play games, but I don't really play them that often, especially on my console for some reason. I do have a regular Xbox. However, the reason I would like a 360 is probably for its media extender capability, so I can play some media off of my wireless network on a PC upstairs.
Well, that's a good idea.
But however, I've kind of converted my Xbox to do that.
Next one from Kevin Mazur, our good buddy down in Florida. He's a longtime listener. I think I first heard of him way back in the early Kevin Devin days, about a year ago, actually. Says, guys, first let me say I really love the show. Well, thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, appreciate that.
You asked about the interviews that you're doing. I would say that whatever you do, keep doing the interviews. That's all caps. That's why I had to shout. They are really great. I think that's something you may want to consider is to put out a full version of the interview after it is aired in pieces on the regular show. Not sure what that would do to your bandwidth, but it's something that I am sure a lot of listeners would enjoy. Keep up with the good work, and I will keep listening. Kevin, easy answer to this. Craig is already one step ahead of you, probably two steps ahead of me. He's put a link on the webpage that says interviews, and the full Adam Savage interview is currently the only one posted there, but when we're done with our series of T. Morris interviews, we will stitch them together and paste those up also. Bandwidth is not an issue at this point. We're going through Libsyn, unlimited bandwidth, just a limit on storage, certain megabytes per month, but that hasn't been an issue with our current pricing structure. So go for it, go forth, click the interviews link, and have a good time.
Mm-hmm. And I think weren't you going to at some point put the Leo Laporte interview up that you had a while back?
Yeah, I need to tweak that a bit. It's sort of unbranded right now.
Unbranded.
It never once do I say who I am or where I'm from, so that's a bad thing in interviews.
Hey, Leo, how you doing? I'm okay. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll get that on there.
Next one from Mike Willis.
He's
our Appleton listener, is he not?
I think he
is.
Sure was.
Mike Wills, I'm sorry, Mike Wills.
He says, hey, on the Slashdot site, I've created a site/feed that combines Dig, Delicious, Top Links, Slashdot, and Tech Memorandum. I'll get all the tech news in one feed. The site's pretty good, but
it isn't pretty, but it's functional.
Hey, it's still pretty good.
So he's really twisted Slash Dig around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went and looked at it. He's got it. Yeah, he's right. It's not pretty, but it's functional. It's there, which is pretty cool.
Darusha Wame gives us a little correction on our mention of Oxford's Dictionary adding podcasting. She says, I'm listening to show number 65, and podcasting is Oxford's word of the year for 2005. We had just mentioned that it made it into the dictionary. Podcasting, mm-hmm. Rootkit, and the others are already in the dictionary. They were all just vying for word of the year. So podcasting won out.
Well, you know, this is the same dictionary that had Doe in there from Homer Simpson's too. So I don't know.
Oh, that's, well, yeah, that's true.
Well, Doe, you know, and Bling Bling.
Don't make me lose respect.
Too late.
Go for Wikipedia. All right, on to the follow-ups.
Yep, we got a shout-out to You're Gay. You're Gay.
You're Gay. You're Gay.
You're Gay. I was saying You're Gay. Never mind. You're Gay. You're Gay. It says birthday on the 17th, so everybody all together now. Let's all wish him a happy birthday. So there he goes.
Happy birthday to you. I don't know. Yorga, you're going to have to send us an email. Let us know how old you really are. But I'd say he's in
18,
there somewhere.
He's 18, and that's like 36 in Belgian years.
In metric.
That's right. Hey, I wanted to tell everybody our our screenshot gallery is coming along really good. We got a bunch of people in there. Already posted some screenshots, and you know, I didn't really realize how many computers I've had, have at my disposal, because I was putting up four screenshots. I was like, wait a minute, I got four computers here, and actually, one of them still doesn't have a screenshot, so I have five. I don't know. It's kind of been a wake-up call for me, but please post them on the internet, on your website or something like that, and put a link to it in your in our wiki.
We're having a really good time looking at those. I'm surprised how fast that's growing. And don't be afraid. We're putting a name per header. So if you've got multiple entries, it's real easy to just stick in a second or third or 12th computer.
And if you're Wiki Challenge, and you can go in there and click, make sure you set up an account. We were having a little trouble with some content spam, Wiki spam or whatever you want to call it. But you have to set up an account to be able to edit. But once you edit, you can see how everybody else is posting the links. And just kind of copycat that, and you shouldn't be in trouble. Or if you want to just send us the picture, we'll put it somewhere and stick it in there for you.
Hey, I've got a real quick mention. I made an oops on the last show. If you're one of the first 265 people to download the show, you would have noticed that during Steve Holden's mention of a book, that the microphone was left up, or at least mine was. And I was giving direction to Craig behind the scenes, and we were talking about that very thing, the screenshot gallery. Yeah. Doesn't happen often, but there's one for the archive. So if you were one of those early downloaders and your podcatching client got it in the first 11 hours of posting, you probably got a little special present.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Whoops, that's bad on me.
That'll go down in the podcasting Hall of Fame.
I doubt it. Speaking of Hall of Fame, you got Google Reader on the mind.
Hall of Fame, okay. You know, I've been pretty open. I've been using Gregarious as my personal RSS feed reader.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as of late, I have gotten very tired of trying to keep up with 200 feeds. And it's not Gregarious's fault. Gregarious is a great little application, very extensible with all the plugins and whatnot. However, even with log lines, I had this before. If I skip, say, an afternoon to a day,
mm-hmm.
with not reading my feeds,
I'd
come in there and I'd look down. I'm like, got like 1,000 items I need to read. I'm like, screw that.
You read about the first 5 out of every category, then say, mark them all red. I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, I try to skip through, and, you know, I do pretty good at catching things that I think are interesting, but come on. I mean, that's a lot. So I started playing around with Google Reader again. I know we talked about it before, and at first I thought it was a little simplistic, but after looking at it, I think it makes a little more sense to me now, because, like, if I come in tomorrow morning, you know, throughout the night, I'm not reading my RSS feeds in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I go to work next morning, I get a cup of coffee, I pull it up, it's got, like, relevant items in there that are happening within the last few hours. It's not like the last 2 days.
That's pretty
nice.
So it's
like Douglas Welch. We were in our mailing list. We were mentioning about, I was talking about RSS feeds, and he said, you know, RSS feeds is like it should be like a flow of information.
Yeah.
And you just kind of tip your toes in it, read it, and then, you know, you come back to it later.
I like that metaphor.
Yeah, and that's exactly the way Google Reader is written. So I think I'm going to kind of use it for a little while and give it a shot.
Cool. Special shout out to Jennifer, the girl on tech. Congratulations. She's working on baby version 1.0. It's official. She's making the announcement.
Or Jennifer 2.0.
Or Wade 1.1.
Yeah. Hey, you know, speaking of that, I want to say congratulations to her first before we go any further.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, to Jennifer. Anyway, you know, I got my son on the screensavers for, I sent a picture in one time. This is a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
When they had the fridge.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the fridge where they did the Geek Library and all that kind of stuff? Well, I took a picture of my son laying beside Linux Journal. Now, of course, my wife was not in the house, so I abused my son. I laid him down beside the Linux Journal. And on his, he had one of those little onesie things that snaps between the legs.
Yes.
And it has 2.0 on the chest. So I sent it in, and we had family coming in because he was just, you know, a month old, and they were all, you know, we were having like a people were coming to see him and stuff, and it was on the screensavers, and they actually got to see it on the show.
Neat.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Hey, I am really stoked because finally Google Earth for Mac OS X is available.
Did you get it?
I got it.
Does it work?
It works. It works. Hmm. The KMZ files, the whole thing.
Cool.
I am really happy.
Yeah, I didn't download it, but I saw the picture of it, and I thought it looked pretty good.
Especially when you go to Jimmy Jet, and he's got a location of the day, and I go, oh, man, I'm listening at home. My Windows machine is at work. Mm-hmm. Now I can just go
get it. Our location of the day is Joe's Crab Shack in Wisconsin. Or wherever.
All right, our strange story. We will have a link, if you're looking for Google Earth for Mac OS X, show notes, standard spiel. You know the story.
Yeah.
Speaking of strange stories, how can you be afraid of Santa? Did you give this? I spotted this in your log. That's where it came. Yeah. Your blog had, how can you be afraid of Santa? And it's got 43 pictures ranging anywhere from the 1950s to present of kids screaming or crying or trying to get off of Santa's lap. They are very funny, and the captions are priceless.
Actually, you know what's funny is not just the kids. But the couple of Santas that just look like they're either liquored up or dying for a drink.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you got to read the captions because you look at the picture, you won't get it at first. But they'll go, you know, too much eggnog, Santa? And the guy just looks like he's bombed out of his gourd.
Oh, there's one. This one guy, he's just got bags under his eyes. poor schmuck.
You try the 40-hour shift and see how it goes.
Now, there's this one picture, and we'll move along after this, but there picture Santa number 5. If you look at it, he looks just creepy, like he belongs in Halloween or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Michael with the mask on, the featureless mask.
Oh yeah, was that the paper mache one?
It looks like it's something. It's got it's a mask.
Yeah,
on this man.
It's creepy.
What were these people thinking?
That's a good time. I was trying not to laugh. I had tears rolling down my face at work, trying not to make a ruckus of the cube farm at work.
That's right.
All right, on to our part three interview with T. Morris. Hey, we have to give a caveat on this. About two-thirds of this segment has nothing to do with technology.
It sure does. There's a lot of technology that goes into rolling cigars.
It's two-thirds of it is a cigar cast. So if you like cigars and you're into that kind of thing, this is the one for you. We take a major deviation. Another clear disclaimer that anything can happen on this show and usually does.
Hey, we'll leave the mics down while you're listening to it.
Well, that would be helpful. We're never going to leave that down.
No, who cares? When they say, as long as they're talking about you.
And that they will.
Yep.
All right. Enjoy the part three of our interview.
Well, tell us about your first Mac.
Oh man. Okay, climb into the Wayback Machine.
I'm all about the Wayback Machine.
Yeah. It's 1990.
Okay, Sherman.
I am not even in the United States. I'm in England. And at the Madison House, which is the JMU's youth hostel over there. They had just acquired a Fat Mac, one of those neat little itty-bitty Fat Macs. And I sat behind one of those for the first time, and I fell in love with it. And I was writing a report on a play I had just seen called, the play was called Bent. And it was starring a guy that I knew, but nobody in America knew at that time. The actor was Ian McKellen.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, when you mentioned Ian McKellen now, Ian McKellen. I knew about Ian McKellen in the freaking 80s. If you want to see a young Ian McKellen in just see how good he has always been, you can actually pick up the DVD now of The Scarlet Pimpernel with Ian McKellen, Jane Seymour, and Anthony Andrews. And Ian McKellen is the villain, and he is so good as a villain. But anyway, that's for a different show altogether. So that was my first Mac. It was a little itty bitty Fat Mac. And for years, I kept telling my folks, we need to get a Mac. We need to get a Mac. And my dad got burned on the Apple IIe, and I loved the Apple, but he didn't. And instead, he went PC after that. So for the longest time, I wanted a Mac, and I finally got my first ever Mac was a Power Mac 7100, and
that's not too shabby.
I got it on a clearance sale. And it wasn't bad. Power Mac 7100 was a nice starting machine. Outgrew it very quickly. Upgraded to a 7200, and that was the one where I first edited video on it, and I did a lot of things on my Mac, but when I was editing video, that was when my parents and my brother backed off on calling me a Mac hack. Yeah. And they actually were like, "Wow, he knows what he's doing." I mean, I'm a hardcore Mac user, but I'm not one of these Mac users that completely dismisses the PC. You know, we all need doorstops, we all need paperweights. So I mean, I think they serve a purpose.
Yeah. But, there's a place for them in this world.
Yeah.
Well said.
but no, seriously, I mean, I teach applications on both platforms, on Macs and PCs. And one of the things that I really truly love about podcasting is that podcasting, it doesn't matter what platform you're on.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think that's one of the major strengths of podcasting.
All our bits have the same color.
Exactly. Exactly. We're just one, you know, shiny happy people, as REM would tell us. No, wait, was that REM? Shiny happy people.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
Go ahead with your next one, Craig.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I'm not really a Scotch guy, but that's okay. Neither here nor there, but I saw that you love cigars, and we had talked to this a little bit offline. But tell us, how'd you get into cigars, and what's some cigars that you actually like?
Oh wow, Cigar Cast. It's called Technorama, right? Technorama.
Yeah. Okay. It's now Smoke-norama.
See, here I was trying to get all my geeky, you know, tech notes all together and stuff like that so that I wouldn't sound like a total hack.
You were going to throw us a curve.
That's true.
Okay. The night is young.
That's true. The night is young. So anyway, all right. You all probably also saw on my website that I clocked in some time as a professional actor. And I still consider myself a professional actor. It's just that my writing has now really kind of taken the forefront. With my acting career, I spent 7 terrific seasons at the Maryland Renaissance Festival. And at the Maryland Fair, after hours, you know, we'd kick back, and some guys were smoking cigars. Now, I'm not a smoker. I've never been a smoker. I tried it once, and I just remember my I could smell my clothes, you know, from across the room. I was smoking, so I said, you know, this just isn't for me. Well, a friend of mine at the Ren Fair one night at a party offered me a cigar, and I thought, well, at worst it'll keep the gnats away. I took a puff, and I was like, this isn't too bad. And it was called a Denver Select. It was like it's not Pabst Blue Ribbon, but it's not Guinness either, okay? It's kind of like a Budweiser, you know, if you put it in beer terms. So that wasn't a bad smoke. And then in the picture that you see, that was when I really got into cigars. My best friend, Orion, is in that shot. He introduced me to a cigar called the Ava, and that's when I started to get real serious about the cigars.
Oh yeah.
Wait, which picture are you looking at? I'm looking at one with a girl in a bikini.
Oh, that's the one where you have to charge like $19.95.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait a minute. What?
Oh, wrong website. Sorry.
Wrong. Yeah. I didn't inhale. But anyway, So the Ava was my first, what I consider my first real cigar. But out of all the different stogies that I've had the pleasure and displeasure of smoking, I still think my favorite, I'm still partial to the Avos, especially the Ava Maduro is very, very smooth. And so is the Ava Pyramid. Now, in Canada, they don't have the same embargo issues that we do. And in Canada,
I know where this is going.
Yes, the Cuban Arturo Fuentes that are Churchills. That to me is that's the ultimate smoke. And what I love about cigars is that when I go out on the deck and I smoke a cigar and I have a scotch, I'm guaranteed anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half. I'm in my own zone, and I'm absolutely positively relaxing.
Oh, I know that feeling. I know that intimately. I love that feeling too.
And this is why I think cigars are better than cigarettes, because you know how people say, "Well, I'm going to go out for a quick smoke break." You don't do that with a cigar.
Yeah. It's an investment.
Exactly. And the other thing too is you've never heard of anybody dying by chain smoking cigars. But it is, I mean, if you were to try to chain smoke cigars, yeah, you'd be dead within a matter of hours as opposed to a matter of decades.
I've inhaled a cigar a little bit one time and it's not fun.
No, it's not. It really isn't. You know, cigars are meant to be savored but not inhaled, you know. Those are the smokes that I enjoy the most. My Avos and my Arturo Fuentes. Even the Dominican Republic of Toro Fuentes, they're still extremely good smokes.
Awesome.
Nothing tastes as rich and bold as El Ropo.
Oh dear. You know, as I like to said though, when I had my first Cuban cigar, someone said, better than sex, huh? And I looked at him and I said, no. But awful damn close.
Yes. Awful close, yes. Well, you know,
you can get a cigar more often.
That's true. And it's cheaper.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're paying for.
Okay.
A G rating.
Yeah. Well, you know, I went to Mexico and I had some cohibas down there. Those were pretty good.
My problem with Cohibas is that they're too spicy. I mean, I've smoked them, and I'm like, they're okay. I don't think they're worth all the hype. I feel the same way about punches too. Not a big fan of the punch.
But you know, as far as to be honest with you, as far as I go concerned, you know, the few Cubans I've had, not just Cohiba, but it's like, I don't know, there are so many other good ones out there now that.
Oh yeah.
You can smoke and not really miss anything.
That's true, but I think it's kind of a mental thing too.
Mm-hmm.
I think
oh sure.
I think when you get a Cuban, it's that whole mystique, you know. It's the whole it's a Cuban. You know, I could get busted for this. Whoa! You know? when actually, yeah, you can get busted at the line if you're bringing like 500 Cubans back from Canada over to the United States. But if you're bringing 10 or 20, now if you're bringing that kind of tobacco across the state line, that's a little different. But if you're bringing 10 or 20 Cubans across the state lines, I mean across Canada, no big deal. You know, it's 10 or 20. You know, no big deal. Mm-hmm. So, but I do think that it's kind of the mystique that you're having a Cuban cigar
and a trailer load of firecrackers.
Exactly. There you go.
That's right. Well, can you give us a little bit of insight on your graphic artist? And I know you said you alluded to doing video editing too.
Yeah, I was trying very, very hard in the early 90s to get a freelance graphic art and then eventually website design career off the ground. Mm-hmm. And where I really hit gold was not in the amount of graphic art and website design that I did, but in the amount of teaching gigs. People were hiring me to come in and teach people how to build websites.
Really?
Using Dreamweaver. Yeah, exactly. And what I find funny about that is that, you know, I've gotten a lot of compliments about my own website, about my writer's website, that's really well put together, very well laid out, very easily navigated, which I appreciate. And they go, could you do something like that for me? And I go, sure. I then show them how much it would cost. And they balk at that. They go, okay. But then if I tell them, but, you know, for this much, I can go ahead and teach you how to do it. And more people have wanted me to come in and teach them how to do certain things. And for a while, I also got into video editing, and now I'm teaching people how to edit video using Adobe Premiere.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that I can't edit video as much because, again, that's another real time-consuming deal.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's addictive, though. It's like podcasting. It's like crack, only worse.
Yep.
I mean, you can sink so much time into producing a podcast. You can sink so much time into doing a video edit that it boggles the mind. That's one of the reasons why I'm really staying clear of vidcasting right now, because I know that if I got into vidcasting, my wife would never see me, and it would just be really, really bad.
yeah. And I know that feeling. And, you know, I taught myself Premiere, and it's not a trivial program at first.
Not at all, no.
No.
And the thing is that, again, this is why I don't completely poo-poo PCs, because I have to know my way around a PC, because that's all the Premiere runs on now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the thing was that I was one of those guys that made the jump to Apple's Final Cut, and I have no regrets. I've been very happy in Final Cut world. So, but still, it's a very time consuming endeavor. But whenever I do edit video, I'm always very proud of how it looks and how it turns out.
It's Chuck Chat Technorama, tech without BSOD.
All right, we have one more segment of T. Morris. Not quite that long. I think the next one's about 8 minutes. We'll have that on show 67, whatever it is.
Cool.
Hey, special shout out to those in the chat room tonight. We've got Jeep and Dave, Kevin Devin, Joni, and of course...
Chachi.
No. Craig. Ah, didn't even see that coming. It's our good buddy Mark Shepard, the chat room. Oh. I'm sorry, hope that was on your end.
Sorry, man, it's burritos.
Don't do that when I'm touching the mixer board. You freak me out.
Actually, I meant to do this.
Hey, I've got a quick What the Chuck segment. It's been bothering me the way people have been saying the name of a certain virus maker, manufacturer. Some people were saying McAfee, some people were saying McAfee. So I did the only sane thing. I called him up and asked him. What the Chuck?
What's up with that?
Thank you for calling McAfee. If you are a home user or purchased your product at a retail store, press pound now to expedite your call. For technical support, press 1. If you know your part is essential... If you are a home user or purchase...
Now you gotta listen to this, because at one point she says, listen to all the menu options. I don't.
Please press 1.
Of this, and your number of juice.
Please hold while we...
Thank you for calling McAfee.
That was not an edit. That was a jump on their end.
Before making your selection. To make a purchase, press 1.
Nope.
If you currently have or think you have a virus...
Oh, you didn't listen to all the menu options!
If you are calling regarding virus update... Please refer
now, I have to confess, this was a 20-minute call. I was on hold. The music you are about to hear drove me insane twice.
All agents are currently helping other customers.
Yeah, some extra minutes to burn on yourself.
Your call will be answered by the next
available agent. It was a Skype
agent.
Oh, of course.
I know this song forwards and backwards. Time passes.
Thank you for holding. Please be advised that our customer service agents are unable to handle technical or virus-related
Now, if you've
issues.
Paid attention, they've already said the company name more than once.
Technical support options. Please visit our
But I'm just being persnickety.
www.mcafeehelp.com.
More music, more time passes. Here we go.
Thank you for calling McAfee. My name is Maureen. Please have your email address.
Hi, Maureen. This is Chuck Tomasi. How are you today?
Hi, sir. I'm doing great. And let me please have your email address.
My email address is chuck at chuckchat, that's C-H-U-C-K-C-H-A-T .com. I have a real simple question for you. You probably don't even need to open a ticket for this.
Okay.
How do you pronounce the company name? Is it McAfee or McAfee?
It's McAfee.
All right, I'm just settling a bet between two friends. That's all I had.
Okay. Is there anything else I can assist you with?
No, that should be fine. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling McAfee. Have a great day.
Take care.
That's just funny.
She's so sweet.
You made her laugh.
I bet she couldn't... Couldn't she's imagine she's going to have an easy one like that.
She's probably laughing because you're like the 10th person to do that today.
No, I'm just being stupid. Hey, if you've got any other things like that that are bothering you, go get them done. Make it official.
Call them up.
Call them out.
Sony, what do you think about this DRM thing?
Easy, easy. I'm not about to take on a big Goliath. Let's rip through the geek library. We've got a few quick things in here before we take off.
Ripping through it.
Ripping the scab.
Yeah, the newbie guide to Linux shortcuts and commands. There's a bunch of good stuff in there.
There is.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I don't care if you're a seasoned professional. It's always good to look through some of these because you always pick up something.
We've also got link to Nintendo from the last 20 years. Everything from the NES to the Revolution and in between. It tells how they got there and why they got there and what they did right and what they did wrong.
By the way, I saw a little video today. It was posted up on Dig somewhere. They had a video showing how the little controller works for the new Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Thing looks sweet.
Really?
Yes. Mm. It was a computer-generated remote that they had.
Yes.
But I wasn't sure if somebody was holding it and it was just a representation on the screen. It looked cool the way it's supposed to work. So.
And
now, this
Getting back to our screenshot gallery, you found something cool.
Yeah, so we had a couple people post some dual monitors setups, and it made me think about, I'm not sure if this is Mandelux or Mandelo. It's a guy that he makes these dual monitor wallpapers, and you know, they're like, you piece them together, so it's like there's one huge picture and you know, the image or whatever is in the middle. He does a lot of baseball caps and stuff like that. It's kind of interesting.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so he's got a great collection, and his birthday is the same week as mine.
Happy birthday to you.
Next month, we'll worry about that.
And finally, a latecomer. This was sent to me by Kevin Devon near the end of my workday today. The Interface Hall of Shame. This is what you should not do. Actually, if you are designing a user interface, whether it's Windows or web or whatever, take a look at this. You'll learn a whole bunch of lessons of what not to do. Yes, hey, Clippy is in there.
And my favorite is some of the error messages.
Oh, they're great. You know, the one with really
click yes or no, and it's like cancel.
the one with the strange characters in the title bar, and it says unknown error. Yeah, I'd say so. My favorite was the I think the 20 checkboxes for the HTML error checker.
Yeah.
And you don't know what, you know, they're just numbered. Check, you know, there's 20 checkboxes numbered 1 through 20. And then the upgrade from version 3 to version 4, they upgraded to 60 unidentified checkboxes.
Yeah, the other one is that I liked was the, and I think this is kind of where you're at, the controls.
Yes.
The wrong controls for the thing. There's your checkboxes. And then, let's see, where was that one? Oh, they had some weird things for, like, resizing a picture.
Oh, it's just awful. I mean, the things in there. And we live with this stuff.
Yeah. It's funny.
All right, let's wrap it up real quick. Before we go, I want to mention Victor Cajiel from the Typical PC User Podcast is having a special Saturday show. If you remember, he was requesting people send him feedback or questions to ask David Mallon from the Harvard Comp Sci Podcast. And he's got that all in. It's wrapped up. So Saturday will be his special show, a little longer than usual. He said it's about an hour. But,
looking forward to that.
Yes, it'll be good to hear that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And with that, we're done.
You can, yes. And
do the song with the arm motions and everything.
Do what now?
Do the song. We've got, we're working on hand motions for this end of show stuff.
Hand motions? Okay. Can you see what I'm doing here?
Yeah. This show is done in American Sign Language, you know.
Oh, that's right. Forget about that. Well, listen, this is how you can contact us. You can contact us at 206-222-CHAT. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com or send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. Or you can email me, Craig, that's K-R-E-G, at chuckchat.com. And be sure to visit the website for links to our forums and put those screenshots in their wiki. It's a lot of fun. It's cool to see what other people are running.
Thank you once again for listening to Technorama. We really appreciate it. Don't forget to tell a friend. Tell hexadecimal 25. You figure out how many that really is.
If it wasn't for you guys, it'd just be me and Chuck talking to each other.
And that would be kind of boring because we'd have to pay a lot of bandwidth bill for nothing.
Yep. All right.
Thanks, everybody. Take care and a binary high five.
101.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!